Time to check in with our guy, Curtis Greco from the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Lots of things happening here and around the world. And Curtis, a thing that was of interest this past week here, the last few days, is President Trump apparently changing his tack as it pertains to Ukraine and Russia. The president saying he didn't see why Ukraine couldn't win back their territory. That is definitely a change of position and would signal a huge, influx of weaponry, I would think, for the Ukrainians to do that. Was this just a bit of a rhetorical flourish, or what do you think is going on here?
Well, I think, the reality is that the president is clearly not having the influence with Vladimir Putin that he thought he would, number one. Number two, that requires obviously a completely different perspective. I don't think for a second that President Trump wants to involve or to aggravate the relationship with Russia. I do think long-term it's in the United States' best interest on many levels to have a relationship with Russia, primarily economic. I think it's the long-term value. But standing in the way is a fellow who simply has much to protect. He has his own personal legacy to protect. He has the control and influence of his own political apparatus that he needs to figure out a way of preserving. And I'm speaking specifically of Putin. And I think that Trump is doing the right thing, as my opinion has always been. The only way you're going to resolve the issue with Ukraine and Russia, the conflict, is to avoid a war of attrition. Nobody wins wars of attrition. Russia's got the advantage because it's got it has a geographic advantage because, of course, it's right next door. Russia also has a demand that's forcing it because they're playing a very coy political game with China and North Korea to disadvantage or in some ways create a void that's going to be very unstable for Donald Trump, particularly in what his plans are with dealing with China, particularly in the Pacific Rim. Now, to the question that you offer or you tender, and that is, so what do you do with Russia? What do you do with Putin? Again, I believe that the long term advantage in the near term is you have to take him on. You have to expose the weakness, the paper tiger element that is Russia from a military standpoint. I don't believe for a moment that there is a nuclear risk, but what's going to be a difficulty for Trump to overcome is clearly the U.S. cannot position boots on the ground in Ukraine. It doesn't work for the United States, and that leaves it to be a military armament that point, which you address and you focus on by your comment, and that is you've got to get military armaments into the eastern front of Europe and get the Europeans willing to use them and to allow the Ukrainians as well. In the short term, I believe that it's true. Russia cannot repel a strong response. This war has been going on for 47 months, and they still haven't been able to put an end to the threat that Ukraine represents to Russia. So in the outlook looking forward, I think Trump is doing this to prepare the Europeans to have a different perspective. Secondarily, to try to do what Trump has been trying to do with Russia all along, and that is to economically starve them. In order to do that, he needs the Europeans to change their game on how they're funding Russia and by buying oil, gas, etc. And that needs to stop.
No doubt. Curtis Greco is with us from the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Meanwhile, Russia over the past week or two has been regularly invading, if you want to put it that way, incurring over NATO countries' airspace with not bombers or anything, but drones and such. They're being very provocative in that way. Was Trump's response sort of a response to that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Russia is, Putin is, going back, this is classic KGB strategy. You poke and nod and you twist and you prod and you look for targets of opportunity. And certainly that is what Putin is doing. He's looking to see how these NATO countries will respond. Are they going to be timid? Are they going to be tempted? Or are they going to be aggressive and defend their sovereign borders? And I think what you're seeing is, of course, Putin checking to see how strong is the alliance that these countries have with the United States. What does Putin have to expect and how these countries will respond. And I think that's exactly what this is all about. It's Trump setting up an environment to see not only what Putin will do, but also to test to see whether or not he's got the legacy of support that he believes he does with the Europeans, particularly when it refers to the Article 5 concept that's implicit in the NATO agreement.
Yeah, what's the old saying about the Russians push where there's mush? And that's what Putin keeps doing. So, Curtis, let's switch to another theater, the Middle East. Of course, the Israelis of late have been much more aggressive. They, of course, attempted to kill some Hamas leaders in Qatar, bombing a building there. They've gone more offensive into Gaza. Is there an end in sight with this?
Well, you know, you look at the history of Israel, and you look at this battle that has been going on with the issue of the solution regarding Palestinians. The summary of this goes and sounds like this. As long as the two-state solution where Palestine is concerned is tethered to a fascist or terrorist faction, there will never be a two-state solution. This has been seen over the years. It was tried with PLO, and if all that did is several hundred million dollars siphoned off by Yasser Arafat. You had the attempt that got close during the Clinton administration and once again during the Bush administration, where there was a solution offered to the PLO. The Israelis actually agreed to it, but the PLO objected to it. So until the Hamas, or let me rephrase it this way, until the Palestinians are actually represented by a sovereign state that is ready to occupy a given space, this issue relative to a two-state solution is always going to be a loser, number one. Number two, when you have these cities or these countries such as Canada, the UK, Australia, and now France, who are now wanting to recognize a two-state, a Palestinian state in the presence of the dictatorial rule by Hamas, really has no other appearance, at least as far as I can see, as being a tepid, or perhaps not tepid is the right word, but being in effect, a reward to Hamas, which simply ends up just promulgating another PLO, Yasser Arafat type scheme that will not produce the outcome people are thinking when they talk about a two-state solution. Israel has no other choice but to defend and expand its borders. It needs to, in their theocracy or their theology of state, Israel needs to fight. That's the premise they operate with, without which they don't survive.
And, of course, the other problem with the two-state solution, Curtis, is the Palestinians really don't want two states. They want one state, theirs, yeah. A state devoid of Jews. They would all be gone, as in literally gone.
From Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea, right?
Right.
You can't negotiate with a conversation that has an or else at the end of it.
Right. Well, somebody reposted a talk recently from Bill Clinton who referred to what you said, talking about back in 2000, the Palestinians were offered a state, the entire West Bank and East Jerusalem as a capital. Israel said yes. The Palestinians said no, because Clinton said, quote, they don't care about a homeland for the Palestinians. All they wanted to do was kill Israelis, end quote.
And, of course, now with Netanyahu having this emergency government, there's no counterbalancing force within the Israeli state that encourages anything else but combat.
Right. Well,
and until that, it's a messy situation like most situations involving stupid things that humans do. This is just a perfect example of a no-win-win because of the fact that you have two different opposing viewpoints with no potential meeting point in the middle possible.
That's Curtis Greco with the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Curtis, as always, we appreciate your analysis.
Always a pleasure.